Vistara's force aura abruptly drew in on itself, shrinking to the point where Luke could not sense it without trying. He nodded and waved her into the co-pilot's seat. "Buckle up. Fold your hands in your lap and don't move." Luke turned to his son. "Ben, get the ship ready to fly, and do not let Vistara out of your sight. If she so much as fidgets..."
"She's dead,"
Ben said, tapping his lightsaber.
"I learned my lesson last time."
"Let's hope so,"
Luke said, turning toward the back of the flight deck.
"We're in enough trouble already."
Before he could depart, Ben asked,
Dad, aren't you forgetting something?"
"You'll know what to do when the time comes,"
Luke replied, knowing that Ben was asking to be filled in on a plan that did not yet exist.
"Just be ready, and don't hesitate. Everything depends on that, son. And I do mean everything."
Luke went to the aft cargo hold, where he paused to remove a combat vest and two different styles of blaster rifle from the weapons locker. Having already examined the equipment once to make certain Abeloth had not sabotaged it while in possession of the ship, he contented himself with a quick functions check, then secured the locker again and debarked through the loading hatch. Reverberations from events on Coruscant were still coming to him through the Force, and he was beginning to sense that the death was something the Masters regarded as sad, but inevitable. He wanted to reach out to them individually, to see if he could learn more, but he resisted. The Sith would feel the attempt as clearly as he had felt Vistara trying to warn them off, and no good would come of alerting them to the trouble on Coruscant. Instead, Luke drew his Force presence in, tight, then slipped out from beneath the camouflage netting and raced up the slope to an observation post he had scouted earlier, a slit stone outcropping with a small overhang at the base. By the time Luke had crawled into his hiding place, the shuttle was resting on its struts at the mouth of the ravine, no more than 100 meters in front of the shadow. Its rear ramp was just settling into the golden sand, but there was no sign of the Sith assault team that Luke had expected to see pouring out of the vessel. He quickly pulled a thermal detonator off his combat vest and set the timer to 3 seconds, but stopped shy of arming it. The Force was still and expectant, like the sea before a storm. And until he had a better idea of what was coming, he did not want to be the one who touched things off. Instead of an assault team, a pair of Sith appeared on the ramp, descending slowly, their arms extended and in plain view. Both wore combat black hazard suits, but even from 100 meters away, Luke could tell that the one in front had the slender build and fluid grace of a Kashyyyk Sith. The one in the rear had one sleeve folded up where his arm had been amputated at the elbow. Unless he missed his guess, he was looking at Sara Sutalan and Gavar Kai. Luke set the thermal detonator aside and aimed his long blaster at the lead figure, then peered through the sniper scope at the purple visage that probably belonged to Sara Sutalan. He could not be certain because the slender face had grown gaunt and twisted, with brows that hooked sharply upward at the outer ends and cheekbones that protruded so prominently they looked like knuckles. The lips had grown bloated and cracked, and the mouth seemed twisted into a permanent grimace of pain. But it was the eyes that troubled Luke most. They had turned as dark as wells, and shining up from the bottom were a pair of tiny light points, as bright and silver as stars. Luke's stomach grew cold and heavy. He pulled away from the sniper scope and gazed down at the two beings with his naked eye, trying to decide whether they might not be a Falanasi illusion after all. Living beings simply did not change into other kinds of beings. True, there were any number of medical conditions that might cause someone's bones to grow knobby or his lips to swell. A wasting disease or prolonged bout of hunger might cause a face to grow gaunt and eyebrows to take a different shape. There were even conditions and parasites that could turn hair into something that looked more like worms. But those eyes... eyes simply did not turn into pinpoints of silver light. Luke peered into the sniper scope again, and found himself looking into a slightly less grotesque version of the face he had glimpsed a moment before. The cheeks were no longer quite so knobby, the lips merely swollen and cracked, and the eyes, he saw now, had merely changed color.
The irises and sclera had turned as black as the pupils, creating the appearance of emptiness where there was simply darkness. But the silver pinpoints remained. Had they flickered or shifted as Talon moved his head, they might have been no more than reflections of the Padiran sun, but they remained steady, shining out from the darkness of the High Lord's soul. And Luke knew why the Force was so full of portent that morning, why he could feel the balance shifting towards shadow.